This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Democrats make their case. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, February 11th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
On day two of his impeachment trial, managers blame former President Trump for inflaming and inciting the rioting at the Capitol.
More than a year into the pandemic, the CDC is now recommending double masks. We'll explain the new guidance.
United Nations investigators say Iran has started producing a uranium metal, which can be used to form the core of nuclear weapons.
And how rookies took up buying and selling stocks during the pandemic.
We're looking at what they call a perfect storm for new investors, with more than 10 million new brokerage accounts being opened in 2020, according to some research at JMP Securities. So that's, you know, quite a bit of people.
Susan Tomfor at the Detroit Free Press on the growth among new investors in 2020. Democrats are making the case that former President Trump assembled, inflamed, and incited the attack on the U.S. Capitol building. The House Democrats, serving as impeachment managers, said that Mr. Trump spent months convincing supporters that the only way he could lose was if the vote were rigged, then made claims of voting irregularities after his loss, before urging his supporters to march to the Capitol on January 6th, knowing the potential for violence, they said. Impeachment manager Eric Swalwell, California congressman.
One example comes from an FBI affidavit, which stated that a leader of a militia group known as the Oath Keepers received messages while he was at the Capitol. The leader was given directions to where representatives were thought to be sheltering and instructions to, quote, turn on gas, seal them in.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz said while rioters should be prosecuted, Democrats had not connected the rioters' criminality to the former president. Democrats will continue making their case today. President Biden has spoken with Chinese President Xi Jinping for the first time since taking office. Last night's call came after Mr. Biden recently spoke with several allies in Europe and Asia. The White House says in the call with Mr. Xi, he raised issues of human rights, trade policy, and international security that divide the two countries, while also holding open the possibility of working together on climate change, COVID-19, and nuclear proliferation. Separately, Mr. Biden announced he will sanction military leaders in Myanmar, who directed the coup that deposed and detained its elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, and others.
I've approved a new executive order, enabling us to immediately sanction the military leaders who directed the coup, their business interests, as well as close family members.
Mr. Biden also said the Myanmar's military must relinquish the power it seized and release prisoners of the coup, and says he'll bar Burmese generals from getting access to $1 billion in Myanmar funds being held in the U.S. The CDC has announced new coronavirus guidelines that include wearing well-fitting face masks or two masks at a time. Americans are now encouraged to select masks with a nose wire that can be adjusted for a snug fit and to use a mask fitter or brace to better seal their masks. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says it's also recommended that we wear a mask with multiple layers for greater protection or layering a cloth mask over a disposable medical mask.
There are also new options available to consumers called mask fitters, small reusable devices that cinch a cloth or medical mask and that can create a tighter fit against the face and thus improve mask performance.
The CDC says it does not recommend wearing two disposable masks at a time, and it says there is no need to layer another mask with a KN95 mask. Meanwhile, newly reported coronavirus cases have dropped by more than 50% over the last month, and hospitalizations, which have seen a steady and steep decline, fell below 80,000 for the first time since mid-November. Coming up next, what impeachment means for former President Trump's political power in the future. In honor of President's Day, Dell delivers savings to help America's small businesses get more done. Office anywhere with up to 50% off high-performance laptops, desktops, and servers with Intel Core processors and top-brand electronics. Plus, refresh now with flexible financing options. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/President's Day. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. The gavel-to-gavel television coverage of his impeachment trial this week returned former President Trump to the place he loves best, and that's the political spotlight. But although most people expect him to be acquitted, the Senate trial isn't just about the verdict. David Jackson, White House correspondent at USA Today, says it's also about Mr. Trump's political potency in the future. David, explain.
Well, it's just amazing how, once again, Donald Trump's managed to take over the news cycle. Everyone's talking about him and his impeachment trial as opposed to the new President Joe Biden and the new Democratic Congress trying to deal with COVID. So we were just struck by the fact that, once again, even out of office and even in disgrace, Trump still manages to command a lot of the news coverage. Of course, I guess we're contributing to that by doing the story, but it was something that struck us. And another thing that struck us was, what does it really mean? I mean, Trump is trying to already forge a political comeback, and so in some respects it may help him if he can cast himself as a martyr in this trial. That may actually help build his support among Republican voters. But on the other hand, the House prosecutors are presenting some pretty damaging evidence against Trump and how he more or less provoked the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, and that may drain his political support. So here again, Trump's back in the spotlight, but it may not be a big help.
Well, you'll wonder why Mr. Biden's avoiding the subject altogether, right? There's why.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there are two schools of thought of that. We didn't get that in the piece, but there are a couple schools of thought on that. One is that in Biden's view, he's just going to stand back and let Trump hang himself or let his prosecutors hang Trump. But another thing, I think Biden, by design, it wants a low-key presidency in contrast to Trump. He wants to be seen as someone who's keeping his nose to the grindstone, working hard for the American people and all this kind of stuff. He doesn't want the kind of drama that was so attached to the Trump administration. And this trial gives him a good opportunity to do that. He's saying, hey, that's their business. I'm not going to watch it. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing my job.
The future political potency for Mr. Yeah. Trump is what here, given the nature of this second impeachment trial?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, he still has support among a lot of Republicans. For example, you may have noticed that Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy cast a vote in favor of holding the trial. He said, based on the arguments, he now believes that it is constitutional to have this trial. Well, the Louisiana GOP promptly issued a statement criticizing its senator for that decision. So that's more proof that Trump still swings a pretty big stick in the Republican Party. The question is it volume? Is it just people who have loud voices? Or is it a large mass of people who are still willing to follow Trump? I think that's the big question, and no one really knows the answer to this yet.
We're speaking with David Jackson, White House correspondent at USA Today, about his story entitled Impeachment Trial Puts Trump Back in the Spotlight. That might not be a good thing for him. Somebody in your story said that they didn't think the original impeachment trial didn't cost many votes to the Trump campaign. But should Mr. Trump run again, how will he play the second impeachment trial?
Right, exactly. I mean, I would at this point, it appears that he's going to condemn the second impeachment trial the same way he condemned the first one, saying it's all politics. The Democrats are trying to get me and you. He's going to say it's an attack by the swamp against him and his followers. But I don't know how successful that's going to be this time around, because that was the January 6th incident was pretty traumatic for a lot of people, and the pictures are pretty ugly. I mean, we had a group of people invade the U.S. Capitol trying to overturn an election. At least five people died during that incident, albeit three of them of heart attack or stroke. It was a much, much more serious event than the incident involving Trump's talks with the president of Ukraine. And I think people are going to see it differently, but that doesn't mean Trump won't try to use it to benefit himself.
Is Mr. Trump still a kingmaker in some situations?
Well, again, a good question. I mean, but a lot of his supporters would say yes. Look at what happened in Arkansas. We had last month, his former press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, announced she was running for governor of Arkansas, and she entered a very crowded GOP primary that included the lieutenant governor, Tim Griffin. Well, on Monday, day before the impeachment trial, Tim Griffin announced that he was no longer running for governor. He's going to run for attorney general instead, and that more or less cleared the field for Sarah Sanders. She's now the overwhelming favorite to be nominated by the Republican Party for governor of Arkansas and to win the election outright. So a lot of people see that as a classic example of how Trump still, you know, here again, swings a pretty big stick in the Republican Party.
Wow. Thanks, David. David Jackson, White House correspondent at USA Today. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Chilling security video of last month's deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, including of rioters searching menacingly for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence, has become a key exhibit in Donald Trump's impeachment trial as lawmakers prosecuting the case wrap up their opening arguments for why Trump should be convicted of inciting the siege. Congressman Joaquin Castro of Texas.
Senators, ask yourself this. How easy would it have been for the president to give a simple command, a simple instruction, just telling them, stop.
Number two.
Some Republican senators said they were moved by watching the House impeachment manager's presentation, but prosecutors still have to convince 17 of them to side with all Democrats and independents to vote for conviction. Utah Senator Mitt Romney on ABC.
It tears at your heart and brings tears to your eyes. That was overwhelmingly distressing and emotional.
The trial continues at noon Eastern time today.
Number three.
Joe Biden had his first call as president with Xi Jinping, pressing the Chinese leader about trade and Beijing's crackdown on democracy activists in Hong Kong. The two leaders spoke just hours after Biden announced he was levying sanctions against Myanmar's military regime.
We're freezing U.S. assets that benefit the Burmese government while maintaining our support for health care, civil society groups, and other areas that benefit the people of Burma directly.
Biden also announced plans for a Pentagon task force to review U.S. national security strategy in China. The polar vortex, synonymous with winter's most brutal cold, has been sitting along the U.S.-Canada border with temperatures as low as 43 degrees below zero in northern Minnesota. Now it's moving south, bringing with it record-shattering cold air. By the weekend, temperatures in Kansas City and St. Louis will be below what's normal for Fairbanks, Alaska. And a series of storms is bringing ice from Texas to Tennessee and significant snow to Washington, D.C. Let the arguments begin. The nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are out. Among the first-time nominees are the Go-Go's, Dionne Warwick, the Foo Fighters, Jay-Z, Iron Maiden, Devo, and Carole King. The inductees will be announced in May, and the induction ceremony will take place this fall in Cleveland.
Oh my goodness. I mean, at this point, has everybody been nominated to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Gosh. I mean, okay, here, I'll help. No to Devo, no to Carole King, no Dionne Warwick, no Jay-Z. There we go. Coming up next, we'll talk about how so many new investors have started trading stocks during the pandemic.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Scores of factors contributed to big growth among new investors last year. But who are they? There are many times younger investors who seem to have some power to move markets, too, like with GameStop, for example. In-depth analysis from Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, what's happened here?
Well, it is sort of interesting. We're looking at what they call a perfect storm for new investors, with more than 10 million new brokerage accounts being opened in 2020, according to some research at JMP Securities. So that's, you know, quite a bit of people. And the storm, if you will, is that the brokerage industry was moving towards zero on commission rates, so it's less expensive to invest. And then, of course, you have this backdrop with the pandemic. You know, as some people saw that market volatility as an opportunity to buy, more people were working from home, so they had, you know, maybe a little more time on their hands. And then you've got these brokerage apps. So there's really been some growth, and it's been a lot of young people. People in their 20s and 30s, people making less than $35,000 a year, more diversity, you know, more black consumers, more Latinos getting into the market as an option. And they're getting in with less money. That is one key thing here as well. You know, they're not having to put up $10,000 to open an account or $25,000. They're investing, many of them are investing less than $500 or $500 or so. And they're getting into these taxable accounts. So it's not like they're opening up or they're putting money aside into the 401k. These are taxable accounts. So this new report by FINRA indicated that 17% of the new investors last year are black, while 15% are Hispanic, Latino, and 10% are Asian. So, you know, that is opening up, you know, some investing here and opportunities. The risks, of course, are what the industry and regulators are concerned about. And we saw some of that with GameStop, you know, with some of these actively traded stocks. But I really found it quite interesting. A lot of these new investors were not making a lot of money. You know, less 24% were making less than $35,000 a year. And that compares to 7% of experienced investors who opened a new account in 2020.
I think age, I guess, has obviously changed over the past, 10 years since the Great Recession. But because I thought the younger set was kind of anti-stock market coming off the Great Recession, but
I thought that as well, but when I interviewed people, they kind of said no, but I kind of remember that as well. I do remember that there were a lot of conversations several years ago about how millennials weren't going to buy homes, how millennials weren't going to buy cars. That clearly has proven not to be true.
Susan Tompor at the Detroit Free Press. Fellas, it's 2021, the year of the rally, the one where we kick 2020 into the rearview mirror and start changing things for the better. So why not dress the part? Be the man that's always on this year with Cuts Clothing. They redesigned the simplest classics like the plain tee from the ground up, combining cutting-edge fabric technology with intelligent, minimalist design to get the next-level comfort you have to wear to believe. The one that I love for winter is their new hoodie. The Hyperloop French Terry fabric they developed not only feels buttery soft like the signature Pika fabric on their shirts, but it's temperature controlled. You never have to take it off. And just like me, you won't want to. Entrepreneurs, mavericks, athletes, podcast hosts, everyone loves Cuts. They're echoing GQ. It's the only shirt worth wearing. Let's kick off 2021 the right way, starting with your wardrobe. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
The top stories and expert interviews that make sense of what you care about. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, February 11. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Impeachment managers press their case against former President Trump. The CDC recommends double masks. Arrests are up 6% at the southern border since December. United Airlines is buying 200 flying electric taxis to take you to the airport. NBA now requiring teams to play the national anthem before games, a day after the Dallas Mavericks said they wouldn't play it anymore. Jeep is pulling its Bruce Springsteen ad after he was arrested for drunk driving, and a military reunion that had everybody crying. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Indeed delivers great candidates fast. In fact, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. More at Indeed.com/credit. Meatpacking workers are among the next wave of people eligible for COVID-19 vaccinations in some states. Their bosses want to make sure they get the shots. But many meatpacking plant employees remain unsure of the vaccine's safety and effectiveness. Insight from Jacob Bungie, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Jacob, what are you hearing?
The meatpacking industry has been on the front line of the pandemic's impact on workplaces and on rural communities since things really got going nearly a year ago now. And you'll remember from last spring, the infection spread through these plants and the communities that included the workers here really quickly. There were a number of plants over the course of April, primarily, that shut down for periods of time. 2 weeks, in some cases a bit longer, some cases shorter, but the result for the U.S. food chain was just hugely disruptive. You had, on the one hand, of course, the workers who got sick, some died, over 130 casualties to this, according to the labor union estimates. And then in the supermarkets, you saw shortages of some products. Wendy's had to tell customers they didn't have hamburgers at some restaurants. On the other side, you had farmers who couldn't send their cattle and their hogs to these processing plants because they shut down and caused backups on the farm. So it's just it's been a terrifically disruptive period for the meat industry. And so they've instituted any number of safety measures they say are helping to mitigate the infections amongst workers who, you know, due to the design of these plants, are obligated to work in very close quarters. They have dividers along the processing lines. They've tried to space out break rooms. They give masks to workers now to wear. They check temperatures before their shifts. But really what the industry sees here with the vaccine now coming available to these frontline essential workers in these type of environments, they see the chance to hopefully turn the page on this and start getting back to some sense of normalcy.
All right. If my numbers are correct from your story, a majority of these meatpacking workers are minority. So there are a good number of skeptics among them. How come?
Well, what the surveys have shown, and this is Americans generally, you know, there's a healthy segment of the population, and maybe, I don't know if healthy is the right word there, but there's a substantial chunk of the population generally that is skeptical towards the vaccines. These reasons range from the speed with which they're developed and reviewed by the authorities, general skepticism toward government in general being a part of this. But what you see when you look at some of the specific surveys that have been done that try to assess the views of minority populations, and we looked at a couple, one from the Kaiser Family Foundation, another one done by the University of Michigan, and these have shown that the Black and Hispanic Latino populations have tended to have a somewhat higher degree of skepticism towards the vaccines. There's historical reasons for some of this. But again, the reason why, as you point out, this is particularly relevant for the meat industry is because a high percentage of the workforce here is Black and Latino. It's around 20% of the industry workers are Black or African American. More than a third are Hispanic or Latino. So, you know, those views can be reflected in those populations in these plants.
Are there immigration concerns, I guess, among some of the Latino population?
Well, there's other reasons in addition to general skepticism or concerns about the vaccine safety and efficacy. And, yeah, you mentioned one of them is that if a worker who is an immigrant to the U.S., regardless of their status, they might be cautious or worried that their background will be scrutinized somehow in going to get the vaccine. Now, the meat industry has had to implement any number of background checks and things like that to make sure that people are of legal status to work in the U.S., but as we've seen from some of the enforcement actions that particularly were taken under the Trump administration in the last few years, there still are the undocumented immigrant populations represented in these plants.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Bungie, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, Tom Brady sets the internet on fire.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, despite freezing temperatures over much of the country, things are sunny and warm in Tampa this week for the Buccaneers to celebrate their Super Bowl win. And in an effort to keep everyone distanced, the Bucs ditched a traditional street parade for a boat parade, which created some made-for-social-media moments. The big headliner, no surprise, was Tom Brady, who had the internet buzzing for two separate incidents. The first came during the parade when Brady, along with other Bucs players floating on his $2 million yacht, decided to toss the Lombardi trophy over the water into the waiting arms of fans. Thankfully, just like on the field, both his toss and the catch were spot on, and the trophy was spared any harm. Brady was obviously in a partying mood because his second viral moment of the day came after the parade, when a visibly intoxicated Brady was caught on camera, having to be physically propped up by another man and escorted from the dock to a waiting car. Of course, the social media goat owned the moment, with his team tweeting the video of him tipsy with the caption, "Nothing to see here, just a little avocado tequila." That was surprising, I have to say, from Brady. Again, and a man, you know, a man who we know doesn't, you know, thinks very long and hard about anything he puts into his body.
Yeah.
And to see him that obviously drunk leaving the boat was kind of a sight to see.
Wow. So he tossed, I didn't see the video, he tossed the Lombardi trophy off of his yacht.
Yes.
Over the water.
Yeah.
Over, I mean, not too far, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, probably about 10 to 15 yards or so.
Ten
like
to 15
that.
Yards?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was not right next to him. Yeah, like, there was some water there between
goodness.
The two. And it was a crowd of people, obviously, egging him on.
Yeah.
And he did it. And he was sort of sheepishly kind of, you know, he wasn't really sure. And he did it. And he was, like, obviously relieved that it made it there safely.
Wow.
And then I didn't see how they got it back later. But as far as I can tell, everything was fine. But but yeah, not sure how it came to that that point where he's throwing trophies around. But obviously, he was having a good time.
Avocado tequila,
yeah.
Apparently fueled this decision making.
Yeah, we should get our hands on some of that, I think.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
And you may not have a $1 million yacht to party on, but having your own private bar would be nice. While not as many people as usual will be going out for Valentine's Day this year, one beer company is hoping to send at least one couple to their favorite bar. Miller High Life is offering to rent out one couple's favorite bar for what it's calling the best Valentine's date ever. According to Miller, the date will include endless peanuts, popcorn, and other bar food, which will be served in heart shapes when possible. The menu will also include premium Wisconsin bratwurst, a fancy cheese board, and candles. Miller High Life, which refers to itself as the champagne of beers, will also be provided for the couple to complete the ambiance. They'll also receive a $20,000 High Life gold card, which the company says will cover their dive bar tabs for life. Fans can enter up through Valentine's Day by emailing their dive bar love story to the contest's email address.
Man.
Not bad.
Well, to me, as soon as you said Wisconsin bratwurst,
yes,
I'm in.
You were in.
Yeah,
you didn't have to hear about the rest of it, the peanuts and the beer and everything else.
You don't have to tell me about champagne of beers and all that stuff. You got Wisconsin bratwurst.
Yeah.
It's officially a party.
Doesn't
for
matter
me.
Where that is.
Thanks, Mike. Ever found yourself up late at night scrolling through home listings, comparing the marble countertops and steam showers, or fantasizing about living in a mansion or lakeside property in some far-flung town you have never visited or even heard of? MarketWatch says you might feel personally victimized by one of the latest sketches from Saturday Night Live. On the latest episode, host Dan Levy of Schitt's Creek fame and SNL's cast members gave a nod to the latest fad, Zillow. The sketch, themed after late-night ads for phone sex hotlines, teased young adults for endlessly poring over real estate listings as entertainment. Zillow took the jokes in stride, with the company's CEO, Rich Barton, later questioning if Zillow perhaps needs a new marketing approach. Meanwhile, Lexi Puckett Holbert, a spokeswoman for Realtor.com, told MarketWatch they've seen record traffic growth during the pandemic. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
House Democrats open their first day of arguments in former President Trump's impeachment trial with searing footage of the U.S. Capitol riot, as they painted Trump as an insider-in-chief who riled up his supporters and falsely convinced them the election had been stolen, culminating in the deadly attack. Congressman Joaquin Castro of Texas.
Quote, as a mob of Trump supporters breached police barricades and seized the Capitol, Trump reportedly was, quote, disengaged in discussions with Pentagon leaders about deploying the National Guard to aid the overwhelmed U.S. Capitol Police.
The video also depicted how rioters sought out then-Vice President Mike Pence and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Number two.
Republicans are attacking the Democrats' $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package as too costly, economic damaging, and overtly partisan. Five House committees are working on pieces of sweeping legislation that would send $1,400 payments to some people. It would also provide hundreds of billions for state and local governments, vaccination efforts, and unemployment benefits.
Number three.
The Biden administration will boost the supply of COVID-19 vaccines sent to states by 5% over the next week and begin shipping doses directly to community health centers that target low-income people. White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Jeff Zients.
Our seven-day average daily doses administered is now 1.5 million shots per day, up from 1.1 million only 2 weeks ago.
Since President Biden took office, the number of doses being sent to states has increased by 28% to 11 million doses a week. The smaller, lighter vehicles that women more often drive and the types of crashes they get into may explain why they are much more likely to suffer a serious injury in a collision than men. Researchers from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety found that in front crashes, women are three times as likely to experience a broken bone, concussion, or other moderate injury, and twice as likely to suffer a serious one. United Airlines says it will buy up to 200 small electric air taxis to help customers in urban areas get to the airport. The airline says it will help electric aircraft startup Archer develop an aircraft capable of helicopter-style vertical takeoffs and landings. Archer hopes to deliver this first aircraft in 2024.
These things can go like 150 miles an hour, too. Not sure I'm ready. Thanks, Jen. In honor of President's Day, Dell delivers savings to help America's small businesses get more done. Office anywhere with up to 50% off high-performance laptops, desktops, and servers with Intel Core processors and top-brand electronics. Plus, refresh now with flexible financing options. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/President's Day. Thanks for being with us. A Florida kindergartner hadn't seen her mom, an active member of the U.S. Navy, since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. That changed Tuesday when the young girl got a surprise visit at the Louise R. Johnson K-8 School of International Studies in Bradenton. The emotional moment when U.S. Navy Chief Yeoman Diana Martin scooped up her daughter for the first time in 10 months was captured on camera. School officials say Ms. Martin had just returned home from a nearly one-year deployment on the USS Ralph Johnson, a guided missile destroyer. A Facebook post by the school said Yeoman Martin was hiding inside a school office and surprised her daughter's class as they were walking by. Within seconds of seeing her mom, the young girl rushed into her arms and broke down in almost uncontrollable tears. The school says it was an emotional moment for their family, along with a small group of school administrators and teachers, also known as not a dry eye in the place. As you might imagine, the minute-long video has been viewed thousands of times. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.